like your name was Moses. It's a Rise Bar Podcast. 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 It's a Rise Bar Podcast.
Welcome back to another week of the Razzball Podcast. This is your host, Ralph Lifshitz. I'm here, as always, with the man, the myth, the legend, the fantasy master Lothario, the reigning Tout Wars and only champion, Gray Albright. Gray, what's going on, my man? How are you doing today?
No, man. I'm chilling. You know what I'm saying? I'm poopity-scooping.
Poopity-scooping?
Poopity-scooping. You know who loves... It's Kanye's new song, bro. Aren't you down with the new shit? You know who loves Kanye's new song? Ted. Ted's like, yo, play some of that poopity scoopy. Scoopity scoopity. Poopity scoopy move it. Yeah, poopity scoopity. He's trolling. He's trolling. Kanye is trolling everyone now. Like, I mean, I always watch, like, you see these music documentaries, which I'm a bit of a, I enjoy documentaries more than I enjoy music, to be honest. But I like, I like docs. So I watch, you know, you watch these documentaries and you're like that Yankee Hotel Foxtrot documentary about Wilco. I forget the name of it, but people know what I'm talking about. Anyway. That was, like, someone killed themselves after that album. I mean, there was, like, there was so much put into that album. They, like, went into a house for, like, a year, and they were, like, ready to kill each other. And then you see Kanye drop albums, and it's, like, or drop songs, at least. And it seems like it literally, like, he wrote a song last week when he was in the middle of a Twitter beef. Like, it seems like he wrote the song in 3 days. Like, just like, oh, hey, I got an idea. Let me write a song about wearing a MAGA hat. What the fuck, dude? Are you serious? Oh, man. He is, like, just... I don't know what's going on. I think people are just trolling people now. Like, I think we just, like, we're, like, in a universe where it's, like, if you're not trolling, you're not living.
Well, I want to say that we're going to get into this in a minute. There is a ongoing Twitter beef in the baseball world between Trevor Bauer and some members of the Astros.
Oh, but it segues my God. Nicely. That's the best. Let's get into it. You want to get
into it? I just want to say, this, because you brought up Kanye, and I have some strong opinions on Kanye. Now, I want to say this. If you're a millennial, why did you have to download the opinions of Fader and come under the mind that he's a musical genius? This dude is a 55 grade producer. He's not even in the 70 grade producers. This dude couldn't hold Pete Rock, Primo's jock. He couldn't hold J-Zone's jock. I'm so sick of listening to people go off on Kanye. This new song is a bitten concept. This new song was much better when Joyner Lucas did it, and it was I'm Not Racist 3 months ago, and he put out a dope video with it, and the lyrics were actually hitting. I am so sick of Kanye West and his watered-down crap, and I would have said this 2 weeks ago. This dude wrote this song, and then he came on Twitter, and he created a controversy to hype up the song. He is no different than Trump. It is nothing but media manipulation from this dude consistently, and that's why he married the woman that he married. Fuck Kanye. I am so, I am so anti-Kanye. I, like,
you know what
this
I'm like?
This
so is
contrived.
You know what is so more interesting? You know what's interesting to me is, like, if Trump or Kanye or any of those, I don't know. I mean, any of those guys, like, if they are trolling for trolling's sake and they're aware of it, like, if I almost feel like I respect them more if there's, like, a level of, like, separate. Like, I can see what I'm doing, and I'm doing it purposely, or if they're just, like, so in their own head. Because, like, with Kanye, I feel like I don't think he's necessarily, like, removed enough from himself to be like, oh, man, this would be awesome if I start this beef with, like, liberals. Which I'm like, you know, like, honestly, if Kanye dropped a dope album, I wouldn't care if he wore a MAGA hat on the album cover. I think it's kind of funny that he was like, my album cover is going to be the doctor who killed my mom. Like, I think that's kind of funny in some ways. Like, it's a super troll move, but I don't know if he's really doing it, like, removed enough from himself to be like, this is a shtick that I'm doing. I don't know. I think he's just so in his own head that, like, even that's why he tweeted out something like, oh, Kim says I should tell everyone, that I don't necessarily agree with everything Trump says. Like, Kanye tweeted that. So it's like, it's almost like Kanye's, like, he's literally, like, it's like his inner monologue is just being tweeted out. He's not even necessarily, like, there's no, like, really, there's no wall between him and what he's putting out there, which, you know, I mean, I think, I like some of his albums. I liked a lot of his older stuff. Yeah, there's a couple albums there that I really liked a lot, like My Beautiful Fantasy thing. I don't even know the full title, but I liked the album. I mean, I liked that. I liked, Graduation, a couple of the older ones.
Yeah, me too.
But
I don't mind Kanye when you take away Kanye and all the noise around it. It's just me being a hip hop snob, having made beats, having been in the studio. That's what I did when I was in college. I didn't do fantasy. I didn't even watch sports. It was just music all the time, you know, in school and that sort of thing. So it's like, to me, like, I have an understanding of it, of what he's doing. And I also know people that have worked with him. Static Selecta did a lot of the work, the drum work on My Dark Twisted Beautiful Fantasy, whatever that album was. And he had a team of producers. Right, he had like 15 guys out there in Hawaii that were working with him. I just don't know how much of it is actually
Kanye. Yeah, like, see, that seemed like, that album seemed like he was, like, stored away in a facility and working on an album.
Yeah, he was in Hawaii.
Yeah, where now, like, I don't know if you can even do it. Like, once you start, it's like any of these things, like, stepping away from music, like, you see, like, some of the stuff, like, George Lucas or Coppola did after, like, their breakthrough movies. You're like, wait a minute. The guy who did The Godfather did Jack with Robin Williams? I mean, R.I.P. Robin Williams, but that movie was awful. And that's the guy who did The Godfather? And you're like, wait a minute, what is this? Coppola? Like, you know, like, so at a certain level, I think you lose either touch and you don't really, like, you don't have enough, like, distance from yourself to be like, you know what? Anything I put out, I'm gonna make money. So, like, what's the difference if I put out some shit? Like, it doesn't matter. So maybe, I don't know. It's interesting though, like, because we're in a troll culture right now.
We are.
People are just getting trolled. Like, how about Trevor Bauer getting trolled by Alex Bregman?
and Trevor Bauer started off after. Trevor Bauer more or less was trolling the Astros and claiming that that there was a way in which they were altering balls. So, you know, it had been posted by, I think, Kyle Boddy, and it was talking about chewing gum, spitballs, reducing spin.
Of driveline baseball, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's a driveline guy. And Trevor Bauer comes in and says, if only there was a really quick way to increase spin rate, like, what if you could trade for a player knowing that you could bump his spin rate a couple hundred RPM overnight? Imagine the steals that you could get in the trade market if only that existed. Molly Knight, who I believe is she LA Times?
She's Dodger. Yeah, she's Dodger.
She's a Dodgers beat person. And she kind of jumps into some non-sports related stuff from time to time and gets herself in some controversy. But she actually engages with Bauer, and they're going back and forth. He's being a little bit coy. And then he sort of goes into it that it's legitimately, like, he thinks they're using pine tar in order to boost spin rates. And then Bregman
the Astros are using pine tar
to boost spin rates. And because it's Trevor Bauer, you know he's done tests on all this stuff. You know he's tried out to throw with pine tar and has RPM readings on what he was throwing and mile per hour breakdowns and everything else. That's the thing, like, I don't agree with Trevor Bauer all the time. I think he has an ornery personality that's easy to dislike. But there's an element of Trevor Bauer that's really, really intelligent baseball-wise, and he's somebody that buys into the sabermetrics community. I mean, he literally studies Brooks baseball and his Brooks baseball pages just to get
the fact that he not only follows but he's commenting on a Driveline Baseball tweet obviously shows you that Trevor Bauer is tuned in to sabermetrics and cybermetrics is like that's like when you use your computer.
Yeah, no, that's what the Philly paper called sabermetrics.
Sabermetrics, right. Yeah, they were the Philly paper was like, oh yeah, the cybermetrics age, like it's the robots or something. But the fact that Trevor Bauer is even commenting on a Driveline Baseball thing shows that he's definitely tuned in a little bit, if not completely. So then for him to be like, basically saying that the Astro pitchers are doing something to increase their spin rate. So he's basically calling out the Astros, and then Alex Bregman comes on to Twitter, and he's like, he says basically to Trevor Bauer, he says, okay, Tyler, whatever you say. He called him Tyler. Oh my God, it's the best, dude. It's the best. It's really good.
The funny thing is this beef is even deeper rooted, and this was a direct shot that Bauer was taking at Garrett Cole. They were on the same UCLA staff in college, were drafted in the same draft. I think they're both top 10 guys. Trevor Bauer really dislikes Garrett Cole, and there was some discussion of how different they are as people. Some people were talking about, you know, how analytical Bauer is versus Cole kind of being a bit of a meathead. And they've really clashed, and I'm sure that, you know, Garrett Cole's newfound acedom is probably bothering Bauer a little bit, and he feels a little overshadowed as he's taken that next step in the same year. It's kind of interesting. And by the way, congratulations to both of us on owning Trevor Bauer as many places as we own Trevor Bauer.
Yeah, so far, it looks like a stroke of genius.
Yeah, no, I know. I love Trevor Bauer coming into the year. I ranked Trevor Bauer almost as high as CBS ranked Evan Gattis.
Who has one home run right now?
I'm sorry, though. Like, you know, not to rag on CBS. I like Scott White, and he wasn't the one who ranked Evan Gattis in the top 20. But you gotta, like, there is no accountability in fantasy. Like, there literally is none. I'm not gonna name names, but, like, you can go into these expert leagues, and you can go in last place, and it does not matter. Like, there are teams that are literally abandoned in April in expert leagues, and you're like, aren't they the ones that are supposed to be giving advice? And they're like, I mean, isn't there any, like, accountability that, like, these guys are abandoning their teams? Like, isn't this, like, what they're supposed to be doing? But, I mean, it doesn't care because, you know, like, it's it's like Office Space. In any job, you get to a certain level and people are like, oh, yeah, that's our fantasy guy. It doesn't matter if he does well. It's like, no, he's the guy in charge of fantasy. It's like, well, he came in 15th out of 15 teams, and he stopped managing his team in April. Is that really the guy you want doing fantasy? Yeah, no, he's our fantasy guy. We already made up the sign for the parking spot.
Who's not changing their lineup? Name names. Do it.
Nah, I'm not going to name names.
Jump in, Greg. Jump in on the troll culture.
A lot of these leagues are they're public leagues. You can look at the leagues. You can see what's going on. I mean, not all my teams are doing amazing. I'm not even saying your team has to be doing well, but at least, like, when, you know, like, say, say a guy goes on the DL 2 weeks ago and he's still in your active lineup, maybe in April, no less. I mean, I could see in August, you're like, you know what? I'm eliminated. What am I going to do? He's in my lineup. So what? Doesn't matter? I'm on to football. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. It's now, April. How are you still got a guy in the on the DL for 2 weeks in April in your league? It's like, come on, man. That's ridiculous.
Let me ask. Is this tout? Is this happening in tout where you have unlimited DL spots?
No.
How are you doing in tout, by the way? How's the weekly update? Hit us with a weekly update.
I'm in first place right now in tout. I didn't have a great week, but I am still in first. I think my lead got knocked down to like 10 points. I'm up, which sounds like a lot, but considering I was up by like 25 points last week, I got knocked down a little bit because I had a couple crappy starts. Who'd I have? I had like Pavetta didn't have the best. I mean, Pavetta was okay, but he didn't have the best of starts. I have Samardzija, who's like, you know, he had a crappy start last week. This start was a little bit better against the Padres, but it was still less than great. I had who else? I had Brandon Finnegan, who hasn't been. I mean, hasn't been great, but he's not. Actually, he's on my bench. Yeah, he's on my bench. it wasn't the best week. I'm still in first place.
Nice.
Oh, I also had Chris Stratton who got hit by the regression fairies, and he gave up like 6 runs in 1 2/3. So yeah, it was a little bit of a rough week for my pitching, and no one's pitching to Bryce Harper, so they've moved him to a leadoff spot. But yeah,
I'm
so anyway.
That, yeah.
Yeah, and Hoskins, I don't think Hoskins did much last week, but, you know, it's a long season. I'm not even saying a team has to do well. I'm saying just manage your team through April at least. Like, that's ridiculous. And I'm not talking tout on that. I'm talking other leagues where I have guys that's like, oh, my God, man. Like, what are you doing? Why is he in your lineup still?
I'm going to have to check some Pertz rosters after this. Speaking of Pertz, I got a big lead coming out of the first month. What's that, a 15-point lead? Ray, you made a big jump this week, though. I think you gained, what, 6 or 7 points? You're jumping up. It looks like it's you, me, and Truss and Son at this moment. Though Son is a lot of innings. Son is a lot of innings. So I'm not saying that he's a front runner. He's a dark horse right now. But they're moving to the side. We have a 3-way battle. See what happens. I'm feeling my team right now.
You're in a good position. I wish I was in first rather than third for sure. It's gonna be tough. Personally, I think it's gonna come down to me, you, and Truss, but we'll see. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to count anyone out.
I lost 3 points today, 2.5 points today. So,
You know what? It's like prove me wrong. I hope Son stays in it all year, but you know, I mean, this is the first year he's been in the league, so I have nothing to compare his performances to. So as of right now, I'm putting money on me, you, and Truss, but I don't know. Hopefully, a dark horse is Cram. I mean, he doesn't give up.
True.
He'll definitely fight until the end.
I forgot Cram was in there, honestly. that's not an insult to Cram. I honestly forgot. Well, he's one of those guys that starts creeping.
Lance is a guy I don't really know in mixed leagues, but I don't know. We'll see. I guess he did win the CBS NL only league I was in last year. That's pretty decent competition. And he won that. So yeah, I mean, he might have some. He might have a little bit of a little staying power. We'll see. I guess it's still early, so we'll all get hit by some sort of terrible injury at some point, like Corey Seager. Look at me segueing.
Nice. I was going to ask you about the pie, but I guess we'll talk about the pie later, huh?
We can talk about it next week. This weekend coming up will be the contest, the grand final. We have I got my. I've been all weekend, all this past weekend. I was doing my with my eye problems too. I went to the eye doctor and he gave me drops and he's like, "There's I hope, you know, this is okay. There's some steroids in these drops. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's fine. So now I am able to write in a complete roundup. And my bounce back time is, like, incredible. Like, you don't know.
Nuts.
I'll write, like, a blurb about a player, and I'll be able to bounce right back and write another blurb immediately.
wait. Try some pine tar on your Twitter fingers and see how quickly you type. That will really set you off.
My spin rate on my QWERTY EOP is so fast.
I'm quick on Acuna now.
Corey Seager.
He's down and out for the rest of the season. He's having Tommy John surgery that apparently he should have had in the offseason, which is like, why didn't you just do it in the offseason, Corey Seager, when your team could have planned around it? Crazy to me. But neither of us own Seager many places. I think we've both been advocates of avoiding him, that he's overrated, you know, sort of based on the team he plays for and name value versus what you get in the return. And certainly some of the depth we're seeing this year at shortstop. So what are your thoughts on Seager? Are there any guys that if you were a Seager owner, you would be targeting off the waiver wire like immediately, guys that are maybe 50, 60% and under-owned?
Well, I will say this, that anyone – well, it's hard to say this because I know someone – at least one team in every league had Corey Seager. Mm-hmm. whether you intended or not, it happened to at least one person. But I'll say that I was never high on Seager. I've never owned him. If you follow my rankings, you probably wouldn't have owned him either, but you know, someone, he was there for someone to draft in every RCL league. Someone drafted him. So unfortunately you got the shit end of the stick with Corey Seager. I think, you know, he should have had the surgery in the off season. Like you said, it's crappy. It's hard. It's hard, really, when you're like a guy like that. I mean, you sort of like maybe like the first five or six rounds, you kind of feel like you're just plugging and playing. You know, like you don't really want to have to think about those guys. So when you're hit with an injury for a guy you drafted in like the third round, it's like, ah, man, that sucks because you don't usually get third round guys or higher on waivers. I would probably, if Simeon's out there, I like him a lot. I like Eduardo Escobar. I like Peraza. I've liked all year. He hasn't really disappointed. Daniel Robertson's hot. I don't think there's really that much there. He's got a really high BABIT, so he's probably going to come down to earth at some point. But he is hot. Like Rudy and I were. Rudy was saying, like, who's this year's the other day he was saying this. He's like, who's this year's Whit Merrifield? And I was like, oh, no, maybe Daniel Robertson. But I don't know. I don't think he has that pedigree, really. I was just throwing out a name because Rudy put me on the spot. But Gleyber Torres is also possibly available in some leagues. I like, you know, for a short-term flyer, Kike Hernandez, the guy who's going to replace Corey, well, actually, I think Taylor will probably move to short, but Kike gets into the lineup if Taylor moves to short. So, yeah, Kike Hernandez could be a guy who you might be able to get something from. You know, if you're able to spin a trade on with someone, like, I don't know, you throw a lesser, like a Waka maybe, a three fantasy starter for maybe like a Paul DeJong, maybe something like that. If you're if you're really desperate, maybe a Waka for I don't know, maybe Trevor Story. I don't think you're gonna get Trevor Story for Waka, but maybe Waka.
What about
plus
like Dansby Swanson?
Yeah, Dansby possibly if he's available. He's another guy I feel like he's playing a little bit over his head right now, and he doesn't excite me with power and speed all that much. But yeah, Dansby Swanson's not bad. As Drupal is probably owned everywhere by this point, he's more or less going to come down to earth too, and he's probably going to get dropped at some point. But yeah, maybe Solarte. Pinder is a real cheap get in a lot of leagues. He has a little bit of power, probably won't hit for much of an average, but you know, you're going to have to work waivers pretty much if you lost Seager.
Yeah, totally. And then you gotta hope that maybe you can scoop up like a Willie Adames or a Franklin Barreto if another shoe drops there. I know some folks had the big story, it seems like, around the Dodgers last night was Manny Machado. I don't know if that happens. I wonder if they make a smaller move for maybe someone like Marcus Semien. That would be good for the Athletics because they could slip, you know, Franklin Barreto into the everyday lineup. They have Mateo coming up as well. So they have some depth and some guys that are kind of on the cusp in AAA. At this point, Barreto's pretty much a shuttle player. And I don't think they're not going to win that division. I mean, I think they know that. So
no,
I wouldn't be
not.
Shocked if Marcus Semien ends up getting moved, and he could be a valuable piece for them because he can play a few different positions. And they are going to have Seager, who's funny next year in terms of when he'll be ready. He may not be ready to break camp. You know, he probably will be. More than likely, based on the Glaber timetable, he will be. And the other part of it is Justin Turner misses a month of the season every year. I mean, and it's not going to get any better. He's old. So I think Semien might be able to slide in there nicely, and they could move Seager over to third base at times. I actually think that might not be a bad target because I don't know if they want to give up the pieces they'll need to give up in order to get Manny Machado without any guarantee that he's necessarily going to resign with them next year. So I think he's an interesting one. I think he's an interesting replacement. You named some good names there. I want to jump in. Ray, another guy that's injured. Are they saying, 8 weeks now we're hearing in terms of the Ray injury? You got any updates on that?
Yeah, I think 6 weeks. I don't know. I mean, he's injured. He's got to he's got an oblique thing, which isn't, I don't know. I feel like the Ray injury could be a blessing in disguise because it's not an arm injury. He's got oblique. He'll be out for a few. He'll be out for a month to 6 weeks, somewhere in that range. And then he comes back and he's had less pitches / innings on his arm. It may not be the worst thing for Robbie Ray if he comes back strong and is, on point when he returns. Now, if he comes back and he looks rusty and he needs a month to get up to speed, then we're looking at a possibly lost season for Robbie Ray. But hopefully he comes back, he's ready to go, and he looks as good as he did last year for the final, 4 months.
Same thing that happened with him last year when the baseball went off of his face. So Ray's got bad luck, man. And this humidor is complicated and confusing, like buying tickets. But unfortunately, when you're wading through the data and trying to figure out whether the humidor is actually going to show up or not, you do not have an app like SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event, whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out with friends, or need to find the perfect gift. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. As I've mentioned several times in this show, I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and within a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually went on a nice scouting date with my other co-host, Lance, this weekend. We wanted to see Vlad Jr. We realized the game wasn't going to get canceled on Friday, so I sat right at my desk at 2 o'clock. I ordered a couple of tickets for us. We picked them up at Will Call. Couldn't have been any easier. And that really is what SeatGeek does. They are designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all Raz listeners, as always, get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. All you have to do is download the SeatGeek app onto your phone or mobile device. Enter our promo code RAZMLB, that's RAZZMLB, and get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase today. On with the show, Gray. On with the show.
Yeah.
Let's jump in here. I want to ask you a question. You threw some dirt on one of my binkies in your sell column last week. You're saying to sell Shohei Ohtani. Now he's hurt. Is he hurt because of you?
Yeah, my bad. My B.
What's your reasoning for selling, though? What's your reasoning behind selling? I thought it was an interesting point that you made on it, so I figured I'd hammer you on the podcast, ask you to explain why you think Ohtani owners should be selling at this moment.
Well, if it was interesting, I say go back and read that. what did I say?
These are movies for the blind.
Whatever I said, I was probably smart. I'm guessing what I said was a brilliant thing. I don't know. I don't remember what I said.
Do you want
I know
me to tell
I
you?
Did say to sell him. No, I know I said to sell him. I just don't. I don't remember the reasoning I gave then.
Not enough innings and not enough at bats. That he does a lot of different things, but
yeah. No, whoever said that is brilliant. Get that person on the show. I just think that right now, like, Shohei Ohtani's really, like, he's still so hyped up. I mean, he looks great. I don't know. Don't get me wrong. I think, you know, for the, you know, out of what, he gets 8, 9, 10, 12 at-bats a week? What does he get, 10? Say 10 at-bats a week.
10 at-bats, I mean, probably.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, actually, he's nowhere near that. What are we,
is it less?
5 weeks? Yeah, he's not that bad. He's a little bit less, like 8.5 at-bats a week. Okay, so 8.5 at-bats a week, and he's got 4 homers. That's pretty good. I mean, it's like, you know, he's getting a homer a week. It's okay. He's hitting .341
as a batty call.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, it's not bad. It really isn't, but you might be able to get that from, like, you know, another, like, Pedro Alvarez or something. Like, and you sell Ohtani and you pick up Alvarez if you really need a batty call of someone who's going to hit one homer a week. But the pitching is really, I think, why people have him. I mean, that's really why he was ranked so high. And he looks great there, too. But again, you know, he had blister problems, and he's got maybe 120 innings in his arm this year. Maybe. I mean, who knows? I wouldn't be surprised if he throws less than 100 innings. You know, with the blister thing, he got skipped. I think, you know, well, at least
today,
he got pushed.
Saturday.
And he doesn't seem like he's able to go very deep into games. He has 20 innings and 4 games started, so he's averaging about 5 innings a game.
One of those is that Red Sox start where he was out after an inning.
Right. Yeah, no, okay, that's fair.
And that's when he had the blister issue,
So say you get 6.5 to 7 innings a game. That's still great. It's not Verlander, or it's not, you know, it's not Charlie Morton, or it's not any of the other people that Trevor Bauer despises.
The way you said Charlie, Charlie Morton.
Charlie bit my finger.
It was like you were Jimmy Stewart for a second.
Yeah, see? Charlie bit my finger, see?
I awoke one day with a taste for trout. So I got in my boat and I headed out. Sorry, anyway, continue. I tend to agree with you. I think he's
whoopity scoopity. Whoopity scoopity. I want to hear Jimmy Stewart do Kanye. Whoopity scoopity.
Oh, Jesus. Whoopity? Whoopity scoopity.
Whoopity scoopity.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think we covered Ohtani. But yeah, I mean, I just don't think he's – I think his hype is above his actual value, as more or less. You know, people understand what I'm saying.
I think you're right about that. I would have trouble trading him in a daily moves league like an RCL, where maximizing at-bats is so important. If he's your number two starter, which is probably where you drafted him, I still feel like he's tough to replace unless somebody's nuts and will send you, you know, a top 5 to 10 starter right now. There might be some people
You know who's not really, like, I feel like isn't getting the heat that he really deserves is like a J.A. Happ.
Yes.
I think you can get J.A. Happ for Ohtani, and I think you're going to be ahead of the game.
I hope you get more than that for Ohtani, though. You should be able to get more than J.A. Happ. As good as Happ.
J.A. Happ is lighting up the world, bro.
I know. I know how good J.A. Happ
is.
I liked J.A. Happ last year.
Okay. All right. Ralph is always ahead of everyone. All right. Ralph's like Jay Happ in middle school. That's it. Case closed.
No, I am.
You can't beat Ralph.
I am a player hipster, and it goes well beyond. It goes well beyond. I mean, like, dude, I was telling people to take Albies that he was going to be a top 5 second baseman, and everyone laughed at me. But and I've been right about so much stuff over the last 2 years. I'm sorry. It's it bothers me. I like Happ a lot, but I just feel like if you're trading Ohtani, you should be able to get more than Jay Happ. As good as Happ
okay,
has been.
And that's in your head. So if you're saying that you like
Jay
Happ,
you're not taking him for Ohtani right now. No.
What I'm saying is Happ will guarantee get more value this year than Ohtani. And in your head, you're thinking Ohtani is much better than Happ. So if you get Happ and say Hector Neris. No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, no, totally. No, I'm not saying you think Ohtani's going to be more valuable. I'm saying you think Ohtani is more valuable in people's perception, right? Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So Ohtani and Hector Neris for J.A. Happ, you're like on the balcony of the Titanic. Like, I'm the king of the world, and you got, like, wind going through your hair, and you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe the trade I just made. This is amazing. I am on top of the world. Thank you. Trade.
You sound way too much like the shit for brains in my my head-to-head league that likes to, like, send me texts about Ohtani that are totally off base. I think if you traded Ohtani for J.A. Happ, I'd want to kick you out of my league. I'm dead serious.
I can't. J.A. Happ.
You should be getting back like a top 20 hitter. Like, you should be getting, like, seriously. Like, I think you're way underrating Ohtani now.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that Ohtani is not going to be more – you're saying Ohtani will be more valuable than Happ at the end of the year on our fantasy baseball player rater.
Yeah. I'll go out and see. Are we combining both of his statistics?
Ohtani.
The ball? Both sides of the ball.
You can combine his 15 homers in 150.
I'll take that.
At bats, yeah.
I bet you he's more valuable as a pitcher than Happ.
More Ohtani? No way.
There's no way Happ doesn't go on the DL for like 5 starts. There's no way he makes 30 starts.
Oh my God, you're saying this? Ohtani is literally injured right now, as you're saying.
He's better.
Happ is gonna go on the DL. Oh my God.
Better.
You believe your own hype. You've been like,
no,
oh my
baseball.
God, my I'm
I
putting
baseball.
You're
I'm,
putting
I'm
a,
an evaluator. I look like, at games, you're putting I look a, at players, and I see things that other people don't see. I know
you're
I
like you're in your own monkey cage, breathing in your own hype. You're like, oh my God, this is it. I figured it out.
How can you look at Ohtani and be like, I would trade this guy for J.A. Happ? I'm going to put this up as a Twitter poll. I'd be shocked if Happ gets 20% voting.
I bet you you're right. That's what I'm saying. The perception of Ohtani is so much higher. If you were to get Ohtani plus a middle-range closer, I guarantee you, you're winning that trade.
All right.
Happ and Neris. Happ and a middle range closer for Ohtani. You're winning that trade. Guarantee it.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to say no. I'm still going to say no. I think you got to get a bat back. I think you got to get, like, you got to get more than just
Happ
and a closer.
Who do you think? Okay. Who do you think is fair for Ohtani? Who would you feel like is a fair trade for Ohtani?
What's the scoring? It all depends. I mean, it's so...
Oh, come on. We've been talking trades for the last 15 minutes, and then I ask you to put your balls on the line, and you say, what's the scoring? Come on! I've been saying the scoring.
Ohtani's value in an RCL is very different than a head-to-head points league with weekly lock lines.
Okay, so now we're now okay. Yeah, I know. I realize that.
RCLs? Yes,
I realize there's a significant difference in leagues. Thank you.
But there's a significant difference in how you would value a guy that hits homers.
We've been why was the entire half conversation not prefaced by what's the league? We're just talking players. Tell me a league and tell me the player. Say 5x5, RCL, name a hitter.
Just a straight up hitter for Ohtani.
Yeah.
I'm trade questions. I have to think about this, dude. This is not the type of stuff that comes off the top of my head.
All right. How about, okay, so
here, you throw me
Hoskins. Yes or no?
No, you'd need more. No, no way. I wouldn't trade Scherzer for Hoskins, I don't think. I don't think I'd trade Hoskins for Scherzer.
Okay. Lorenzo Cain. Okay, yeah, sure. Lorenzo Cain.
I wouldn't trade Lorenzo Cain for Ohtani, no.
Okay. I don't know. Miggy? Or are we too far now?
Yeah, it's way too far. I wouldn't trade Ohtani for Miggy.
Okay, I wouldn't either. I was just trying to gauge your range.
What about Xander? What about Xander Bogaerts? Would you trade Ohtani for
second?
Xander?
I'd take Bogaerts in a second. It's not even close in my head.
I think that's a little bit more even. So Bogaerts is killing the ball right
what?
Now, too.
Oh my God, it's not even close. Bogaerts going to blow Ohtani's value out of the water. It's not a close trade. I don't think I would take Bogaerts in a second. Dude, offer me that trade. I wish I had Ohtani just so I could trade him to you. I want to go out and trade for Ohtani just to then trade to you. Love Ohtani. Okay, let's move on.
I don't know. I mean, it's right now, trades are totally subjective. 2 weeks ago, Hap, you would never have freaking traded Jay Hap 2 weeks ago for Ohtani. He's had a couple of injuries and a bad start, and all of a sudden we're overreacting. I think it's just silly. Jay Hap's talent level wasn't even like within like Ohtani's stratosphere. It would be like if Trout had a bad month, and we were like, I think I'd take AJ Pollock over Trout right now.
You know, it's funny. I went back to April of last year post. And I was trying to find someone. I actually wasn't. Our commenters, I gave him less credit in my head. I was trying to find someone in the comments who was saying, like, what do I do with Corey Kluber? Because he had a crappy April last year. So I was trying to find someone. There was a few people who were like, oh, my God, should I bench Kluber? And there was a few of those, but there was no one who was totally outright like, I want to drop Kluber like they are right now with Luis Castillo. What's going on with Castillo?
I don't know. I am ready.
Yeah, we got hot takes and we got lukewarm takes.
I am ready to cut. I've cut bait on him in a couple of RCLs, other leagues where it's a little bit, you know, more pitching relevant. I'm holding on. I'm holding out hope, but it's not good. Eno had an article about it. The spin rate's down. Velocity's down. He's in a bad ballpark. He's in a bad
team.
He
needs a trade to the Astros.
He needs a trade to the Astros. He badly needs a trade to the Astros. Hey, I got one for you. Bregman or Ohtani?
Bregman in a second. All right. So, yeah, Castillo, I'm concerned too. I read the you know, there is an article, I'm sure you read it too, by the in the Cincinnati Inquirer, saying how his arm slot was off. So Castillo could be better going forward because they've been made aware that there's a problem, even though the first month of pitching stats didn't send up the red flag. Someone saw that there is an arm slot issue, in case the 8 ERA didn't tip them off prior. So hopefully Castillo can get better. I'm trying, you know, because right now we've gotten some sample sizes. That's what she said in a orgy. We've got sample sizes now that are starting to get a little bit bigger. Hello. And I'm trying to find that, you know, where is that, like, the Verlander or the Kluber of last year? And who is that? Who's that? Who are the breakout guys? I really like Pivetta. How do you feel about Pivetta? You liking him?
I like Pivetta. I saw it last year. He's got the velocity and the fastball. It's a big part of it. But I think it's the breaking stuff that's been much better this year. He's actually been throwing his curveball for strikes, which I think was his biggest issue last year when I had profiled him. So yeah, Pivetta's interesting, and he seems like he's taken such a step forward that it's almost like nobody is questioning whether he's going to be able to sustain it over the course of the season. It seems like everybody's kind of in the Pivetta thing. I mean, he's cut his walk rate in half. It wasn't very, it was just under 4 last year, which is borderline awful, but not awful. He's under 2 this year. He's actually underperforming his FIP right now. His ERA is 3.27, his FIP is 2.75, and he's right in line with his xFIP, which just more or less means that his home run to fly ball is right in line with league average, which is about 10.5. I think he's like 6.7, so they raise it a little bit, but it's nothing too crazy. So I buy into Pivetta. I buy into it because, you know, fastball velocity's there. Like I said, he's got that curveball work, and he's throwing that more. He's throwing the fastball less. He was like a 65-70% fastball guy. He's actually taken the step forward that I think a lot of people hope Vincent Velasquez can take next year, because he still is way too reliant on the fastball. And I think that's ultimately what it is that you got to be able to mix your stuff up. You got to be able to throw your breaking ball, but you still got to have a good fastball, which I think a lot of what the issue has been with Tanaka and Sonny Gray and some of their up and down starts. Pivetta has that fastball to go with the good off-speed stuff. So he's really interesting. I want to hear your take, though. Take on Dylan Bundy. Because he's a guy that I was way off, and he's like a different player this year.
Yeah, I know I wrote the Guzman sleeper, which I haven't written. I'm not writing it off yet. Dylan Bundy. I know I liked Dylan Bundy coming into the year. I didn't expect quite this. I don't. You know, like, he's taken such a huge step forward. His K rate is way up. His walk rate's even down. His xFIP's at 3.6, which, fine. I mean, that's a 2 in the AL East. It's not bad at all. His velocity is down a little bit, marginally, so that could be an issue. He's throwing his slider more.
Could be cold weather.
I don't mind. I like Dylan Bundy as a. I'd put him on any of my fantasy teams for sure. I don't think I'd go out and buy him. Like, I don't know. I feel like the Orioles have just, they're like, you know, they scare me. I like him. I like Pivetta more, even though
really
Bundy's peripherals look a little bit better than Pivetta. I do like Pivetta a lot, though, for all the reasons you mentioned. So yeah, I mean, Bundy's a decent guy, He's a decent guy.
I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna take Dylan Bundy in this one, and it's no contest for me. And it's less about the actual statistics and more about some of the underlying plate discipline stuff and what he's driving. He raised his swing and strike rate from an 11.4, which is still higher than Pivetta's, which is about an 11. He's got a 15.6, a 15.8. That's an elite swinging strike rate. His contact is now under 70%. That's the number I look for. That means that you don't give up much contact. You're very difficult to barrel up. Pivetta's close to 80% on contact. He's a 77% guy. But the most telling thing to me about Bundy, and a lot of it is I think he's finally throwing that slider, cutter, whatever you want to call it, more and with more confidence. He started throwing it more last year. This year it seems like he's actually got it all working together, because he took a year off actually from throwing that slide. I don't know if you realize that.
Yeah.
As he was making his way back from some injuries. He's got a 37.6% chase rate. That is an elite chase rate. That's significantly higher than Pivetta's. So he is not getting contact. He's missing tons of bats, and he's driving bad swings at pitches outside of the zone. That's a roadmap for success long term as a pitcher. I think it's really just a matter of Bundy can stay healthy. But I like Pivetta a lot. I was very wrong on Bundy, and because I was way off him, and I thought he was
but
a guy.
Now you're right.
Yeah. No. Well, I was wrong.
No, you were wrong. But now you're right.
Now I'm right. Yeah. Now I'm right. Exactly. I've seen the error in my ways.
I just wanted to clarify. You were wrong, but now you're right.
Now I'm right. Exactly.
All right. Perfect.
I'm wrong about Dan Vogelbach until I'm right about Dan Vogelbach. Also, Francis Martes. I love Francis Martes, and he has been awful even at AAA, Gray. I think he's going to end up with a reliever. I think he's a bust.
All right. Well, you saved that for a prospect podcast. Yeah. Talk on Soraka because I don't. Let's hear it.
Soraka.
Okay. Yeah.
The tier de loup over the K. Come on.
I forgot the tier de gray. The tier de gray.
I got the tier de loup. I don't even know if that's what it is.
I didn't realize there is an umlaut over one of his O's. Okay. All right. Go ahead. Soroko.
Soroka. I like Soroka a lot, and this kid has taken a step forward this year in terms of his bat missing ability. He's one of these guys that. If you look at the K per nine numbers, they've always been somewhat pedestrian throughout the minor leagues. But I think it's easy to sort of forget how young Soroka is and, you know, how far above his level age-wise he's been. I mean, he's been in AAA all this year and was in AA for the entirety of last season and put up some good numbers. This year, he's finally taken a step forward from a 7 caper nine guy to a mid nine guy. His control has always been elite. This guy pounds the strike zone. And you know, he's not even getting lucky right now. I mean, his ERA right now in AAA is a 1.99, and he's doing that as a 20-year-old. So I mean, you know, when you consider how young this guy is,
with neutral, he's got neutral luck on a 1.99 ERA. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's got a 2.93 BABIP.
I grabbed him in a 15-team. I grabbed him in a 15-team mixed league. Are you grabbing him in an RCL?
I actually grabbed him, and I am streaming him today in Perts.
Okay.
I like his, he's got 3+ pitches to me. And
okay.
Plus commands.
Cool. What's his fastball velocity? What's he at? Ooh. How far does he throw?
I want to say like it's like mid like 92, 93.
Okay,
you know,
so he's not like 100. He's not a triple-digit crazy.
No.
Okay.
He's a feel guy. He's a pitchability guy.
He's like a Nola.
Yeah. I would say that's not a bad comp. You know, he's a fastball, slider, changeup. They're all plus pitches.
What about, because we're this is like the longest three-guy podcast ever. What about we've gone over three guys in like 4 hours. What about Nick Kingham? What do you think of him? I'm throwing out prospects because you're the prospect guy. What do you think? Nick Kingham and Fernando Romero. Give me like small sound bites, Ralph. If you go on for 20 minutes, we're never going to get through this.
I like Kingham a lot. Kingham is a guy that had pedigree a couple years ago in that Pirates system. He was coming up the same time as Taillon. And he had Tommy John surgery at the wrong time, right as he was about to break. He's come back. He's remade his slider somewhat. That slider is an absolute swing and miss pitch. I had it on Twitter. Maybe it was 14 swing and strikes in that game. 11 of them were on the slider. Fastball, he pumps it in there. 93, 94, some 92s. He's got a two-seamer as well. Got a curveball he can throw for strikes, and he had a lot of strikes looking on the breaking balls. Really good control. He's come back. He was pushing in AAA. I think he can be a legit difference maker and might be one of the better starters in that Pittsburgh rotation if he sticks around. I really think he's taken a step forward this year. Lance and I talked about him a lot coming into the season and on the podcast. I think maybe the first week after the minor league season had started, he's a big guy too. 6'6",
so a late bloomer who's had a couple TJs and now could potentially stick in the rotation all year and be a surprise number 3 or 4.
Yeah, I think he had TJ right as he was about to sort of break into the majors.
So not as many TJs as Johnny Venters is what you're saying.
Less, no, he hasn't had
less TJs than Johnny Venters, but more than me.
More than you. Yeah, he's recently coming off of TJ, that he only like a little bit last. I think he pitched maybe half a season last year.
Okay, Fernando Romero, Ralph. Fernando Romero.
Forget Romero. Romero is a future reliever, like I said. Really good fastball, pumps it in there. He's got a good slider. Changeup is actually worse than I thought it was now that I've watched a few of his starts. I don't think the control is great. He's a four walk guy in AAA. I think he's going to struggle. I really think he's going to struggle in the majors.
Fernando Romero and Fernando Rodney may be sharing rooms at the Motel 6, what you're saying.
Yeah, unless they decide to give Romero Rodney's role. I think he can be I think he could be like a top 10 closer. I think he's got stuff like that. But he doesn't miss that many bats. He doesn't miss that many bats, and he walks too many guys. Just
He looks like a mess waiting to happen, pretty much.
Yeah, I think he's a mess waiting to happen, but
Romero is a joker.
Yeah, I would stay away from Romero outside of like deep head-to-head points leagues.
All right, no more prospect talk. It's like enough already. People can download the prospect podcast if they want more prospect talk.
Exactly.
Ralph,
Mikolas. I want to know about Mikolas.
Mikolas. Miles Mikolas. Is it just me? I want to call him Michael all the time. I want to call him Mike Mikolas all the time for some reason.
All the time.
Mikolas. Like, his name triggers some dyslexia in me. I like him. I liked him coming into the season. I felt like he was going for such a I own him in a couple leagues because he was just going for so cheap. I mean, he was like a forgotten guy who is getting drafted around like 250 or later overall. He is a 7.5 K per nine, really good command, like a 1.5 at the I feel like at the uppermost side of his command. I think he's potentially a 3.6 and under ERA. I don't think he's necessarily gonna win you leagues, but he's a good what you wanted from say a Lance Lynn or a Jake Odorizzi, I think you're gonna get from a Miles Mikolas.
Yeah, or maybe a J.A. Happ.
Right. Okay. There you go. All back to J.A. Happ. I'm out of here. That's it. Yeah. Goodbye.
Nice. Now I like Mikolas, and he's been one of your better calls, I would have to say. You know, the numbers overall.
Wow. Oh my God, that's the guy you give me. You give me Miles Mikolas. You give me a solid back end fantasy, like a number 4 to 5 starter is the guy you take. Hoskins, Albies, Acuna. You take literally everyone sexy, Acuna, and you give me Miles Mikolas. How is this possible? Oh my God. Fine. I'll take Acuna. Jeez.
Oh my God. You could take Acuna.
Okay. All right. So now Acuna's going to go 0 for 12, and you're going to be like, I told you. He wasn't my guy.
I staked my reputation. I don't get invited into the big industry events. So the TGFBI, I have Ohtani. And I have Acuna and Acuna.
How's that team doing?
And that is not bad, actually. I'm maybe in it's a 15-team league. I'm in fifth or sixth, but I'm on the cusp of a couple categories that if this is my first week, because it's weekly lock, is my first week that I have Acuna in the lineup for the entirety. My team's finally healthy and rolling. I'm interested to see what I can do. Yeah, I got beat on Albies though. And of course, the one team that owns Albies is not good. It's Paul Spohr's team, and he's in rough shape right now. He's down at 11th or 12th, but he reached on Albies, which is what which pushed me to reach on Albies in Pertz, because I think it was the next draft that I did. But I want to take a little aside for a moment here, and I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, RotoWare, at RotoWare, RotoWare.com. Follow the founder, the creator, the man behind all the designs, all the T-shirts, the one that folds your T-shirts. That would be Kenneth Cashman. You can follow him on Twitter at Kenneth_Cashman. He's actually rolled out some new shirts. Great. I don't know if you're aware of the RotoWear Classic, but he's got all these different shirts and designs. They're a little bit, I would say that, the elite products are probably the regular RotoWear stuff. So he's knocked that down a little bit. He's trying some different designs out there. He's working with Amazon, actually. He's got some cool stuff. He's got some non-baseball-related shirts. He's got some baseball-related shirts, one that actually got liked by Mitch Haniger the other day. So I encourage you to go out and check those shirts out. I also encourage you to go on to RotoWear, look at some of the main RotoWear material that he's put out. Like I said, the 80 grade shirt that I was wearing last week, talked about that a little bit. That's probably my favorite shirt that I have. I got the Crab Army shirt, Exit Velo City, and I pretty much have a different RotoWear shirt on every single day of the week. If you'd like to dress like me and be as fabulous as I am, maybe you'll be able to scout at my level. You can use our promo code SAGNOFF to get 20% off all of your RotoWear apparel. Gray, anything you'd like to add on RotoWear?
No, I'm a big fan. I love the shirts. I wear whenever they come up in my rotation. I don't have one for every day of the week because, for whatever reason, Kenny hasn't sent me a shirt in, like, forever. I don't know what I've done wrong. Maybe I did something wrong. I don't know. I haven't gotten a new RotoWear shirt in a while, but the last one I got 9 months ago, maybe, it was great. I loved it. Still waiting for another one, but, you know, whatever.
Uh-oh. I think Gray's asking for more shirts, Kenny. Get on that, my man. While you're busy trying to steal some shirts from Kenny, why don't we talk about a man who's no stranger to larceny? That'll be Malik Smith. I know you said that you're buying Malik Smith. Do you think he is a must-hold in RCLs at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. For now, I mean, I think he's like top five in the league for batting average. He's mm-hmm. got plus speed, so I mean, maybe he'll run into like 30 steals. I don't necessarily think I'm not going out and trading J.A. Happ for him or anything, but I like Malik Smith. I mean, I have him on my in my Perts League RCL team. I have him there, so he's cool. Yeah. I like him. He's good. He's got a crazy, if you want to break it down, he's got an insane BABIP that's probably going to come down. He's probably more of a 270 hitter, maybe, in a lucky year. So he's not necessarily a 335 guy, but yeah, no, I mean, he's fine. I would grab him for now, at least.
I wish they would hit him leadoff. I wish they would hit him higher in that order.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, what am I going to do? I think you actually had Kevin Cash on that, was it the mailbag
Anime
this
Gray.
Week, right?
Yeah.
With Anime mailbag. Gray, it was in the
yeah,
mailbag.
Anime
I wanted to make sure it was
Anime
in the
Gray.
The okay.
Anime Gray had Kevin Cash on. In the Anime Gray video this week, he was Kevin Cash was on to talk about Malik Smith and how stupid Kevin Cash is. So,
nice. I like it. I have a question for you for 2019 because it's May 1st, so why wouldn't we be having 2019 discussions about drafting right now? Acuna or Albies next year? And I know it seems easy right
Acuna.
Now.
Acuna.
Yeah,
no,
you're going Acuna.
Yeah, Acuna. I mean, it's not. Yeah, Acuna for sure. Acuna I think Acuna is going to be top 12 overall for like the next 10 years. I mean, I don't see Acuna looks like
Acuna.
It doesn't matter. We're just doing a podcast. I mean, what difference does it make how I speak?
doesn't matter.
Where's my pronunciation matter on a podcast?
Actually, with you, it doesn't matter. Let's
assume I'm saying it correctly. Okay.
Like Castillo.
Yeah. Let's assume my pronunciation is on point. Okay. Yeah, no, I love Acuna. I feel like he's probably top 12 overall for 10 years. Albies looks like easy top 20 guy though. So I'm not saying Albies is bad. I think they're both going to be right there. I feel like Rizzo probably looks like he's getting dropped out of the top 20 going into next year, even though we are literally a month into the season, we might be jumping the gun on my 2019 rankings. But as of right now, it does not look like Rizzo is going to be in the top 20 again next year. And I wouldn't be surprised if Votto is out. Goldie's coming down. But we'll let them play for another 5 months to see
sure. That would help. That would help. Here, we'll skip over Robertson. You already talked about what you thought about Robertson. We already talked about Luis Castillo, or Castillo, as you like to say. I want to ask, I got a couple of verses here. Moncada versus Buxton. What are you thinking, Moncada versus Buxton? It's easy right now. But
oh, I thought you were. You mean like in a competition? I thought you were about to drop actual verses when you said verses. I thought you were going to be like, hitting some bars. Scoopity poopity, poopity scoopity, oopity oopity, oopity scoopity. I just wrote a Kanye song. I think between Moncada and Buxton, I think you gotta, at this point, you gotta say Buxton is so, like, flaky and unable to be trusted that you gotta go Moncada over Buxton, I think.
He doesn't walks. Buxton doesn't get on base enough.
He wasn't one of your guys.
No.
Is that what you're saying?
I rated Buxton one over Corey Seager.
So you're saying that a guy who doesn't perform well, is not one of your guys. How would I ever have guessed that?
I don't cherry pick. I've mentioned people that I've talked – I just talked about Francis Martes and how high I was. I can go back in my rankings, but –
I'm the same way.
He more or less was like past his rookie limits within like a month or two of me taking this job. So I only ranked Buxton once, where I ranked some of these other guys multiple times.
It's fine. I'm just busting your chops. It's
okay. I just always got the question of, is Moncada another Buxton? And my issue with that question always was, dating back a year plus ago, was
Moncada
gets on base. Yeah. He walks.
He takes pitches. Yeah, no, I hear you. That's
and
fair.
That plays up
so,
your
okay,
speed,
so we agree know? Then. Moncada versus Buxton, we're taking
easy.
Moncada.
I think it's easy. Okay. Yeah, I think it's
all
time
right, what
to
else
start
you got? What else you got? Give me some more verses that aren't actual
verses. Sure. Let's go. I'm going to go through some players here. Rest of season, Sophie's Choices is what I call them. These are all players listed with player rater ranks as of the games ending on 4/30. So it's after the first month. Albies is the number four guy on the player rater. The number one guy is a fellow middle infielder, Didi Gregorius. Albies or Didi rest of the season? I think it's a good question.
I think it's easy. I think Albies for sure. I think Didi is fine. He's proven me wrong with his power. I didn't really buy the power coming into the year, but he looks like he can hit, you know, he can get to 30 homers. Fine. That's cool. All good. But he still doesn't have any speed to go with it. So I'm going with Albies because he's more, for 5x5, he's just a more rounded player.
Yeah. And I just think that the one case that can be made for DD is that lineup where he hits. Some of the counting stats might boost him a little bit. You know, obviously the speed isn't there. Albies hasn't run a ton yet either. I mean, I'm expecting Albies to go nuts and steal 20 bases, but it hasn't come to fruition at the moment. The funny thing with Didi I wanted to mention, I don't know if you saw the
if you have to choose between one saving Albies or Didi or letting the other one go to a concentration camp, you're saying Albies is the one you're saving, right?
Yeah, I would.
We're doing Sophie's Choice, so we have to keep it accurate to the analogy.
Yes, unfortunately, I'm shipping Didi off to.
Oh well,
yeah, that's not
all
good.
Right. All right.
All right. Anyway, I was going to say, did you see Didi's spray chart? Historically, all of his homers, every single one of them, is to his pull side to right field. He's never hit an opposite field homer.
No, I have.
Yeah.
I want to do someone. Kenny from RotoWare should do a spray chart for my hair. Because my spray chart is actually, like, I usually do heavy on the middle, but then I push it to the right. So when I'm spraying all over with the hairspray. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. You have an excellent spray chart with your hairspray. But anyway, let's move on for some more verses.
Yeah, please, let's go. Because right now, Coogs is standing in the hallway, and she's like, how much longer is this podcast going to go? Because I want to come home. Yeah, so go ahead.
Hi, Kooks. Anyway.
Yeah. So she can't hear you because
she
it's
can't
tomorrow.
See me either. Look at these baby
no,
blues.
No, it's tomorrow. Kids. She'll be listening to this tomorrow, but go ahead.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, so anyway, Tommy
Not
Pham.
Not really, though.
Tommy Pham, number 25 in the play. Yeah, we didn't get any Sycamore corrections last week at Indiana State. Pham at 25 versus Lorenzo Cain at 27.
Lorenzo Cain.
I knew you were going with Cain. I knew you were going with Cain. I'm going to go with Pham, just to be contrarian here. I don't know why you dislike Tommy Pham so much, but he is much better than you thought. Kind of like Shohei Ohtani. Anyway, let's go on to a couple of power hitters who are having a good start to the season. Mitch Haniger, number 6 on the player radar, versus Hanley, who's 30. Not as close, but I assume, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if
we'll see what Haniger. Well, no, I think, no, it's a fair versus. I think Haniger, I want to, because I own Haniger, so I want to believe this breakout is for real, but I really, you can't trust Haniger to make this last for
He's not going
to
stay healthy.
I think I just said a James Ingram lyric. Got to make this last for more than one month. Is that James Ingram? Make this last. No, that's sometimes
I think
when
it's
we
one
touch.
Night. Close.
Yeah,
close.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, so James Ingram is saying, I want to see if Haniger can last for more than one night. No, I'm going to take Haniger over Hanley, but they're real close, and I feel like both of them are going to come down in their value. I don't foresee us getting through the entire season where they're both healthy and last for
that's the
a
biggest
full
thing.
150 games. Yeah.
That's why I compare the two, because they're both constantly injured. There's always a nagging injury lurking
in the
background.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. Javi Baez, number 8. It's a shortstop one. Javi Baez, number 8. His ranking is half of the highly drafted Carlos Correa, a guy that you were staying away from, at number 16. Who are you taking, Correa or Baez?
I was. I'm still not on Correa, but I'm taking him over Baez.
Okay.
I think, I'm not, like, I haven't really shaken my preseason ranks that completely where I'm taking Javi Baez in the top 25.
No.
You know,
he looks much better, though. He really
does
look like he's taking
step
forward. Oh,
he does, totally. Yeah, that's not a diss on Baez. I really think Baez looks great. I wish I had him on all my teams, but I'm not buying into a top 20 player yet for Baez.
Yeah, and I just wanted to bring up the ranks there. Obviously, I think Correa is an easy choice still. Baez would have to do it for a full season before that could even be a conversation. Let's talk about pitchers who were traded and apparently started using pine tar in order to up their spin rate to the Astros. That would be Justin Verlander, number 13 on the player radar, and Garrett Cole, number 26 on the player radar. Who are you taking rest of the season, Verlander or Cole?
I'll probably take Verlander, but that's not to say that I don't think Cole can beat him for fantasy value.
Yeah.
I'm buying Cole's new, you know, pine tar ridden fingers. I'm in on Cole. At this point I'm buying Cole, but Verlander's just been so safe for his entire career that I'm just taking Verlander.
And you know he can hold up. And I think that's why Verlander. But it's interesting. Both those guys are really close and pitching really well. But, if somebody did go Cole, I don't think it would be totally crazy. Two other guys, a little bit less heralded. One coming off a good season, one coming off a bad season. But one is a former Cy Young winner. Charlie Morton, 36 on the player radar, versus Rick Porcello, 37. So they're neck and neck right now. Who do you have, Morton or Porcello?
I'm going to go Morton. I like Porcello more than I have in many years, but I think Porcello is probably closer to a number 2, and Morton, I feel like, has established himself as a number 1. I'm buying into Morton.
Okay, and I'll say this. I like Morton's skills and arsenal, and when he's pitching, I think Morton is better. It would not shock me if Porcello finishes higher on the player radar end of season because he makes 32 starts. And I'm just not so sure that Morton – if Morton's pitching this well and he's healthy at the beginning of September and the Astros are up 10 games in that division, he is 100% going to get skipped. All right, let's finish off with one last pitching showdown. This is a lefty showdown. Sean Manaea, number 11, versus Patrick Corbin, number 17. Who do you want rest of the season, Manaea or Corbin?
Man. I think I'm going to go Corbin. That's tough. I think both of them are kind of playing a little bit over their head. And I would own both of them for sure. I probably would go Corbin, though, because I liked Corbin more going into the season, and
yep.
I just have a special affection. I'm making up words now. I have a special affection for Corbin. I think he's just affectiation. I have an affectiation for Patrick Kjarbin. Easy for me to say. That sounds a little bit like Kevin Cash in this week's mailbag video. Corbin. I'm going Corbin.
Yeah, better team, National League. Seems like an easy choice. All right, Greg. This is this is the end of the podcast. Is there anything you want to say to the people?
Lates.
That's right.